Oi, mate, how you going? My name is the Lethal Mullet, and tonight on episode number 204 of the second season of Lethal Mullet Podcast, tonight we're going to be chatting about the amazing Evil Dead 3 Army of Darkness, directed by Sam Raimi, and of course produced by Robert Tappert, and of course it stars Bruce Campbell, and Embeth Davids, and Bruce Campbell, and many, many others, and of course, this is a bloody damn good film.
All right, lights, camera, action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. With the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, and welcome to episode number 204 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien. And of course, tonight we're going to be looking at Army of Darkness, one of my all-time favorite horror comedies, action comedies, whatever you want to call it. It's got a bit of everything, folks. And it certainly is probably the best work Sam Raimi has done. Of course, definitely with the great Bruce Campbell. It's a 1992 American comedy horror action film directed by and co-written by, of course, and co-edited by Sam Raimi. I tell you what, he wears a lot of hats, this fella. Has he got many heads? And, of course, co-produced by Robert Tappert and Bruce Campbell. Co-written also by Ivan Raimi. Now, Bruce Campbell has always been pretty much the front face of this amazing series of horror films, horror comedies. And by this stage, Army of Darkness was the most accessible out of all those. And I've always been a fan of the film since I saw it first on VHS. Sadly, never got to see it in the cinemas. But I did, a few years after in Australia in the early 2000s, get to see it in Brisbane. And it was great, fantastic, if not better than seeing it in VHS or DVD later. Now, obviously, one of the great things about this film is that it has two films preceding it, and now, of course, there's a whole franchise going out there too. And Ash, of course, is such a big character, and without a doubt, it's Bruce Campbell's pride and joy. A lot of this was thanks to the success of one of my favourite films, folks, starring Liam Neeson, the one, the only Darkman. And, of course, that was something that was a commercial hit at the time. Certainly for Universal Pictures, it really upped the game at the time when, of course, Universal Pictures had movies like Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And, it is one of those great times for those sorts of films. But this one, of course, was his pride and joy. And he obviously knew that having Ash move into this sort of environment would make it a little bit more, if anything, commercial. I think, because, I mean, it's what caught me to the series, caught me onto it, made me want to watch it and obviously check out the other films, but this is still my favourite of Ash's series. So what's it about? Well, it's a sequel to Evil Dead 2, and, of course, and by that way, it's also a sequel to Evil Dead. And Ash Williams, played by, of course, Bruce Campbell, is trapped in the Middle Ages and battles the zombies and the undead and, of course, even a copy of himself, and trying to find his way back to, of course, our time, the present day. Now, in 1992, this was a really interesting film, especially for the effects work alone. You know, old school effects work, some of the best stuff I've seen out there, you know, at the time, still couldn't stack up to what Sam Raimi had really done, you know. And again, it was old school, but it was done in such a way and well handled with the cameras and stuff like that, that it really, I personally think, was one of the best at the time. So, folks, we're going to be chatting about that tonight here on the podcast. But before we do that, let's let you know how you can catch this show and many others like it here on the one, the only Lethal Mullet Network.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favorite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shane Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Alrighty, excelente, and thank you, Tom, for your little chat there. Good to see old Tom. And, of course, the show that he's on is on hiatus, but you can definitely catch all those episodes and more on the Fandom Podcast Network. Now, let's get to the film. Of course, we're talking about the one and the only Army of Darkness, folks, directed by Sam Raimi, written by Sam Raimi and Ivan Raimi, produced by Robert Tappert, and, of course, cinematography by Bill Pope, edited by Bob Mirarski, and, of course, ROC Sandstorm, and, of course, music by Joseph LaDuca. Now, the production company on this was the Dino De Laurentiis Company, of course, Renaissance Pictures, Introvision International, distributed worldwide by, of course, Universal Pictures. It came out October 9, 1992, and also February 19, 1993 in the United States. Running time is roughly around about 81 minutes on one of the cuts and 88 on the international cut. Now, that's the cut you've seen here in Australia, folks, if you have seen it. Now, there is one thing we're going to get into, the multiple editions of this film, and there's quite a few of them, folks, so we'll talk about that as we get to it. Now, the budget on this one was around about $11 million, and it's made $21.5 million, so it's made double back. There we are. All right, so let's talk about the story. Now, Ash Williams, as we know him, of course, played by Bruce Campbell, is accidentally transported into the Middle Ages, where he's basically put upon the men of Lord Arthur, and this is where he's captured. And he's actually thought to be a spy, folks, for a lad by the name of Duke Henry. And Duke Henry, of course, is at war currently with Arthur, believe it or not, which is just amazing, as it's the setting for where, of course, we're going to have Ash pretty much educate the entire people of the Middle Ages, of course, with his shotgun and his chainsaw, which, of course, he will grab as he's thrown in a pit. And he kills a deadite and regains his weapons from Arthur's wise man as he takes on witches and goodness knows what else inside there. From here, he becomes pretty much the man on a mission to try and find his way back. But, of course, at the same time, he becomes the popular knight, if you like, of Arthur's men. Here, we get to see also Henry and his men set free by killing the deadite publicly at the same time, too. And, of course, Ash is seen as a complete hero. And here's where, of course, he's also met with, of course, Sheila, who's the sister of one of Arthur's knights. And, of course, there's a mutual attraction there too. From here, we have the wise men come down and say that Ash can return to his time only if he finds the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead. Now, doesn't this sound like something out of the old mummy films, pretty much, doesn't it? Well, similar. And, of course, Ash goes out in search of the Necronomicon. This is where he goes to this massive forest and has some really interesting scenes where, of course, he gets chased around on the horse till he finds, of course, he finds his way to the actual thing itself after he goes to a windmill, crashes into a mirror, small, of course, reflections of that turn into shards And of course, those shards become little ashes. And this is when it all comes together in a life-size version of him. And this is where Ash then kills the copy of himself. And of course, puts him 6 feet under after he shoots him with his shotgun, pretty much. Now, from here, he goes to the Necronomicon's location and he finds three books. This is where he has to determine which one is actually, in fact, the real McCoy. And, of course, he finds out which one it is, and as the wise man told him, he's meant to say, Clada Barada Nikto, right? But, of course, he doesn't say that, does he? He grabs it and, of course, does know it, and from here he fails to get, of course, the right one. And, of course, from here he gets he basically puts all the deadites to work because, guess what? With his, of course, failure to do so, the copy of him, of course, the dead version, if you like, of the copy of Ash becomes alive again. And, of course, from here, this whole army of slave skeletons or the deadites goes, of course, becomes the army of darkness against Ash. Ash then, of course, returns from here to the castle and, of course, he wants to go back to his own time. But from here, Sheila is actually kidnapped by a flying creature and then is transformed into one. From here, Ash becomes right in the middle of everything and, of course, he wants to take on the whole army himself. This is where he brings out, of course, his 1973 Oldsmobile Delta 88 and, of course, uses the people, of course, of Duke Henry and those to put together an amazing contraption. Of course, the beast turns into a steampunk version of the car with Mad Max-like adaptions to it. And from here, of course, goes out in search of the other Ash. From here, we have obviously this big showdown, which no doubt you've all seen. And, of course, Ash then finds his way back to the future. From here, he's talking to his own fellow employees at S-Mart, the department store, talking to a co-worker, and this is when who gets really into the story. And then, of course, a surviving deadite comes through. And, of course, from here, Ash had not forgotten what was going on and, of course, pulls out a Winchester and says, "Hail to the king, baby, taking it out." And, of course, then he gets his lady at the end, of course, and kisses her. So there's many other versions, I think, that were going to happen to this, but the original ending was from the Necronomicon, the wise man tells Ash to swallow 6 drops of the potion to return to the present, and but because he's distracted by falling rocks, Ash miscalculates the amount of liquid and correctly returned to go back to his own time and swallows 7 instead of 6, and he wakes up in a post-apocalyptic future where humanity is destroyed, and he screams in dismay at the, of course, having passed his time in his sleeping. Of course, Universal Pictures didn't like that and basically said it's very negative, very depressing, and that he should return to his own time. So this story, you know, again, it's got little bits of everything that's interesting in film. No doubt one of those ones. It's an interesting way of looking at it.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham, all on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor to tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.
All right, so let's have a look at the cast. Bruce Campbell as Ashley, Ash J. Williams, and Evil Ash as well. We'll go into Bruce's work in a little bit. Let's have a look at the rest of the cast here. So we've got Embeth Davids as Sheila, Marcus Gilbert as Lord Arthur, Ian Abercrombie as the Wise Man. Of course, Star Wars circles will know Ian Abercrombie as well. Richard Grove as Duke Henry the Red, Timothy Patrick Quill as the Blacksmith. We've also got Bridget Fonda as Linda, Bill Moseley as the Deadite Captain, Patricia Tallman from Babylon 5 as the Possessed Witch, Ted Raimi as the Cowardly Warrior, second supportive villager Anthony, the S-Mark Clerk, and of course Skeleton voices in this, and of course Angela Featherstone as the S-Mark Store Girl, which is uncredited. So we've talked about, obviously, Bruce before on the show, and certainly it's come up a number of times just how amazing this guy is. Bruce Lorne Campbell, born in 1958, June 22, is an American actor and, of course, director too. He's done movies as well now, folks. Of course, he starred in lots and lots of low-budget cult movies like Crime Wave, Maniac Cop, Sundown, the Vampire in Retreat in 89, and Bubba Hotep as well. Also on television, you'll know him from, of course, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., Jack of All Trades, Autolycus, and, of course, we've got King of Thieves, and, of course, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, and Zero, The Warrior Princess. He played Sam Axe on, of course, Burn Notice, and, of course, he was in the Stars series based off these films, of course, where he played Ash Williams on, of course, Ash versus the Evil Dead from 2015 to 2018. And, of course, he's also directed some movies as well, directed Fanalysis in 2002, A Community Speaks in 2004, and then with horror comedies The Man with a Screaming Brain and My Name is Bruce, which is actually quite good. I really enjoyed that one too. And, of course, this is, of course, spoofing his career and done quite well. He's also role of the father in 2015's The Escort as well. He grew up in, of course, Royal Oak, Michigan, and he's of Scottish and English descent. He is somebody that's obviously had a passion for this sort of thing, acting as a teenager, and soon he made Super 8 movies with friends, of course. This is where he met Sam Raimi in Wiley Groves High School. The two became very good pals and, of course, started making movies. Campbell, of course, attended Western Michigan University, and this is where, of course, he got his bug of wanting to be in the movies, basically. From here, of course, Raimi collected, his skills, and they joined together to do the Super 8 version of the first Evil Dead movies, which was called Within the Woods. And this was used to basically try and get investors and people interested in making the movie, of course. And this is where you get the whole feel for, of course. This is when a few years later, Campbell and Raimi got together with, of course, a family and friends of the year and, of course, put the whole thing together of the Evil Dead. Of course, he's got the lead role in, and he worked also behind the camera, and he was the co-executive producer, getting that credit on that too. Of course, Raimi was the brains behind it, the editing and directing. And, of course, Robert Tabbitt was the producer, and somebody was from Michigan as well, so fellow of the same area. And, of course, he got endorsed also by Stephen King. He got an endorsement from the horror writer himself. And this, of course, helped with slowly getting distribution and things like that down the line. For 4 years, of course, after the original release, they basically, became the number one movie in the UK at the time, and then, of course, received distribution in the United States after that too. And, of course, we know the history of that. Went on to, of course, Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, Ash vs. Evil Dead, books, comics, toys, you name it, folks. It's all out there, clothing, games. And, of course, he's really drawn to the character of this too. It was also something that, it was really obviously very comic book-like in some ways too. Ash Williams, of course, he's been in Marvel Zombie comics as well as a character. Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness, being around that too, which is really interesting as well. Now, obviously, too, he does a lot of cameos in Raimi's work as well. in the Spider-Man film series he's been in, at the end of Darkman, which we've talked about on this show 2 years ago, and, of course, in the Quick and the Dead Western. And he was also going to have a cameo in, of course, Doctor Strange in the Multitude or Multiverse of Madness. There you go. It's a mouthful, folks. I mean, of course, he's known for playing quirky roles. Obviously, things like, you know, doing, well, Ash Williams, for starters, also playing a role in Maniac Cop and Maniac Cop 2 and My Name is Bruce, which is, again, folks, I think a real love letter to him and a spoof, you know, because it is about him, but it's also really up to, you know, his sort of feel as well. He said some mainstream work. Of course, he played a small role in Escape from LA, of course, as well. It's quite interesting. He was in Congo, Hudsucker Proxy as well, and The Majestic too, just to name a few. And, of course, you know, he's been interested in TV and stuff like that too, so there's been roles here and there that really brought him into. For me, you know, when it comes to Bruce, you'd know what you're getting. And I think that's, you know, he's really become a franchise to himself. He's somebody that really has a good feel of, you know, that real, you know, I think power of being not only leading something, but having that comedy behind it too. And, you know, as sort of a part of you that wants to be Ash, some of these things to have, you know, in particular when it comes to the history of, you know, some of this stuff, you know, just having that feel of, you know, being somebody from the future going to medieval times, and to bring that knowledge. Knowledge is power, folks, in particular if you are this character, Ash Williams. Of course, the brains behind this, of course, is Sam Raimi, who's not only an actor, he's, of course, an American filmmaker and known, of course, for the Spider-Man trilogy, Evil Dead series, and, of course, Darkman, which I do believe there's a remake or a sequel on the way. I think a direct sequel from what I gather. He's also done Quick and the Dead, A Simple Plan, The Gift, and, of course, many, many others. I mean, it really, really is interesting when it comes down to it, just how much this gentleman has done. He's even done The Stand. He was in that, of course, along with, of course, Stephen King. You know, I'm like most of you out there. I know when I'm seeing a Sam Raimi product, you know, he certainly has his own feel. And what I love about that is that you're going to see Ted, his brother, in a lot of that stuff. Obviously, you're going to see Bruce. I mean, Bruce is obviously a big part of those series. And I think that's what's great about it too. He's also done the, in 2009, Drag Me to Hell. In 2013, of course, Oz the Great and Powerful as well. And, you know, again, you know what you're getting with this gentleman's work. It really is interesting. He, of course, born in Michigan as well, and obviously his brother Ted's involved in a lot of stuff too. Great physical actor and is very funny. Obviously, too, at a young age, they got into love comics. Spider-Man was one of those things too. And, of course, they attended Groves High School at Michigan State University as well, and this is where they, of course, got into Evil Dead and much, much more. Of course, one of my favorites outside of Army of Darkness that he did, of course, is Darkman. Such a fantastic film and one that, you know, really has an amazing feel. It certainly is a step in the direction that I've always liked of his work. So get back to the development of this movie. You know, obviously Evil Dead had Evil Dead 1 and 2. And, you know, they'd been trying to get another movie going for some time. And, of course, this was even before Darkman. Evil Dead 2 had made pretty much, you know, enough across the world that Dino De Laurentiis was able to put the finance up for a sequel. And, of course, Sam Raimi wanted to really get it out there, something a little bit different. So there was a lot of work that they were trying to pull from, things like a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. There you go. It's a real mouth twister, that one, tongue twister. And, of course, Gulliver's Travels was another one, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Jason the Argonauts, The Three Stooges, and, of course, Conan the Barbarian. Of course, Evil Dead 2 was definitely a step in that direction, and it was designed to go back into about 1300. They couldn't muster it at that time to go back to that, so obviously, you know, getting that real feel. So they decided, of course, do that for the next one, obviously what they're doing. And they finally got their chance. A lot of it's thanks to the success of things like, of course, Darkman. And I think without that step of the necessary step of Evil Dead 2, we certainly wouldn't have it. Now, from here, in the writing of it, Raimi had brought on Scott Spiegel to co-write this movie because he'd done such a great job on, of course, Evil Dead 2. But he was busy on The Rookie with Clint Eastwood, which is quite a good film, folks. We will cover here one day soon. And, of course, he had great experience of working on a screenplay of a film called Easy Wheels with, of course, his brother Ivan. So Sam and his brother decided to co-write this movie together. And they got the pre-production and production together of Darkman. And after filming, they took the script out and then, of course, built out the actual story even further. And, of course, Ivan, you know, had a sense of where things were going. And, of course, then the comedy got added to the script. And, of course, this is definitely the funniest of those films too. And you have a chance, obviously, for them to, bring more characters to the – and, of course, spread out the characters feel too. The budget initially was $8 million during the pre-production, but, of course, it ballooned up and it got to, obviously, close to $12 million at the time too. Principal photography of Army of Darkness was filmed in Bronson Canyon in Vasquez Rocks Natural Area Park in the U.S. And, of course, interior shots were done in Introvision in Hollywood. Stage there. And of course, this was to bring on, of course, the stop motion animation work of things like Ray Harryhausen. And of course, that was using those techniques. And of course, front projected imagery with actors and vice versa too. Old school techniques. Shooting it started in 1991 and about halfway through. And it was, of course, a summer shoot for the United States. And the castle set was in Acton, California. It was basically on the edge of the Mojave Desert, folks. And needless to say, it was a very hot shoot, very warm. A lot of the film took place at night, and, of course, this would help with, of course, the weather and stuff like that for all the – and, of course, you know, again, beautiful shots. And, of course, from here, there was only certain hours that through Monday through Friday that Bill Pope, the cinematographer, could shoot through too. It was difficult for him and, of course, to get the choreography of these scenes that we do in battles and stuff like that too. And, of course, what's interesting is too you've got that in amongst all the amazing work that we see Bruce in the middle of these fight scenes doing and stuff like that too, which is really, really interesting too. Of course, you've got Ash and then you've got Evil Ash. So, of course, he's got to play the two roles in amongst all that too. of course, there's interesting stunt work in this as well, which well worth watching some of the stuff. Obviously, it is an action movie as much as it is a comedy horror too. Dino De Laurentiis gave Raimi basically complete freedom to do what he wanted to do, particularly in post-production. Universal had not been, really a help and, of course, weren't particularly happy with Raimi's original cut because it did have that original negative ending. Of course, that was cleaned up to whatever they're doing as well too. So it's interesting that they could sort of bring those around about too, and certainly without doubt. So Raimi wanted to finish the film off properly, but he needed $3 million to do that too. And at this stage, Universal were not happy. They didn't want to give him any money at all. And they delayed the release of this film as well too. And this is at a time where they're in a complete dispute over Hannibal Lecter, a character, of course, in the Silence of the Lambs. And so that they could do a film sequel to the Silence of the Lambs, they needed to resolve those rights issues too. Of course, a lot of that went further out too and changed. Universal also wanted to basically do something completely different with the covers and this, and go basically they had this poster that had a Frank Frazetta-like painting feel to it. And basically, Campbell is the key to this too, where he's, of course, it's the big ad campaign was based on this poster. And still today is one of the most interesting covers for a film on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever as well. Danny Elfman composed a score for Darkman and basically did the March of the Dead theme in this film as well. Joseph LaDuca also composed music for The Evil Dead, and it was an interesting time for it too.
Well, that's all we've got time for here for episode number 204 of the Lethal Mullet podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien. Well, 5 stars is what we give this film, and I hope you will go and check it out. Of course, 5 stars on the Hallenbach scale here is as high as we go, folks. It just shows you how much this beloved film is when it comes down to it. And if you can, find the Screwhead edition. It's quite a good edition of the film. You'll find that out here in Australia at JB Hi-Fi. But you can also find that online and elsewhere. Check out for Amazon and many other places. And support, of course, the great work of Bruce Campbell and, of course, director extraordinaire Sam Raimi. We'll catch you next Wednesday for, of course, the same here at Lethal Mullet Network. But keep smiling and we'll see you next time here. Same place, same channel. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.